Korea Rocks the Markets.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. South Korea conducted live fire drills near the border with the North today. North Korea had said it would retaliate if that happened. It's backed down this morning, but it did call the drills reckless provocation. So what happens if it gets worse? How would that impact the global economy? Marketplace's Asia Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz joins us to talk about this. Good morning, Rob.
Hey, Stacey.
Rob, we know South Korea is a growing international high-tech and car maker. Could these drills end up impacting Korean businesses and exporters?
The short answer is no. Today's drills caused some ripples in Asian stock markets, but we didn't see assembly lines shut down or anything like that. It's worth mentioning all the products South Korea exports to the U.S. and the rest of the world, cars and lots of electronic gadgets. The country's a big steel exporter, too. So the question is, would a military confrontation impact the global supply chain of all these products? I posed that to Korea expert Fang Xiaoyu at Fudan University in Shanghai, and here's what she told me.
If it were a conflict that lasted a matter of days, then there wouldn't be much of a global impact. Local markets would fill that gap and prices would remain stable. If it were a full-scale war that lasted years, then yes, there'd be an impact, but that's very unlikely.
Why does she say unlikely?
She said it was unlikely because South Korea's economy is just way too important to the U.S., China, Russia, and Japan for any of those big powers to just sit back and watch something like that unfold. South Korea is China's third largest trading partner, and we've just signed an historic free trade agreement with them. You know, this type of scenario isn't likely to happen despite all the media hype.
Asia Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Stacey.
All of that media hype is enough to have the markets feeling mixed this Monday morning. Korean markets edged down 0.3%. Tokyo's Nikkei index fell 0.8%. European markets are up, London's FTSE up just a hair. On Friday, U.S. markets weren't feeling so great. The Dow Jones Industrial Average edged down to close at 11,491. KushCon wraps up this weekend in Denver. It's the world's largest marijuana trade show. Hundreds of vendors were there, along with thousands of attendees. We sent Colorado Public Radio's Zachary Barr to check it out.
For mom, how about a marijuana cooking class?
And like I said, I'm doing pepper steak tonight, but you can actually do this with chicken.
For the kids, Santa Claus is here.
Ho, ho, ho!
Santa, what do people here want for Christmas?
Everyone's iPads. It's like, we used to make ducks with wooden wheels.
For dad, maybe he'd like a nice glass pipe. Only $20. Or for $45,000, check out Steve Farland's rig. It's a high-tech hydroponic grow lab built inside a tractor trailer.
Let's say you want to be able to go to Arizona in the summer or in the winter and you wanted to bring your grow with you. Just pack it up and drive it over there and you don't have to be stuck watching a warehouse.
The variety of products and entrepreneurial spirit at this trade show mirrors what's happening in Colorado and 14 other states where medical marijuana is legal. But there is that one sticking point.
They need to know how to stay in compliance with state law, despite being in no way compliant with federal law.
Rachel Gillette's a lawyer, and she's got a booth here, too. In Denver, I'm Zachary Barr for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk. Since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at novonordisk-us.com. And by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com.
If you're looking for a gift for the man who has everything, consider the Dover Seaport. The historic port may soon be up for sale as the UK struggles to pay off its budget deficit. It's one of the busiest ports in Europe, and it's attracting an unexpected bidder. Christopher Worth has more.
Recession or no recession, this stretch of the English Channel is prime real estate. It's as close as you can get in Britain to the rest of Europe. But instead of looking over to the coast of France, Neil Wiggins turns and takes in Dover's legendary white cliffs that tower over the port.
This is a site that's greeted seafarers throughout the centuries.
Wiggins used to be one of those seafarers. He was born and raised in Dover and would often pass the white cliffs during long journeys at sea.
and I would get a little bit of a rush and excitement. We kept an eye on it all the way down until it was out of sight again.
Now he hopes to purchase this very port where he first set sail. Wiggins heads up a local group called the People's Port. It's concerned that once the port goes up for sale, it will most likely end up with overseas investors. The worry is they'll have little interest in investing in the town of Dover, which has seen tough times.
It's in the local interest and the national interest that it stays here with the people in Dover.
To do that, the People's Port says it can raise about $600 million to buy it from the British government. It also plans to sell what it calls Dovorian bonds. Each person in Dover could buy one for about $15, which would give them a vote in how the port is developed in the future. That's likely to go over well at this local arcade. Owner David Greeley fears foreign owners will cut jobs at the port.
The general feeling in the town is that it should stay in British hands.
But Bob Goldfield, the port's chief executive, dismisses the People's Port's plans.
These things are very emotional, and people feel that it's very much their port. But the Little England way of looking at things just doesn't work nowadays.
He says bringing in private investors will allow the port to borrow money, something it can't do now. And the port can then use that money to grow, which Goldfield says will help the town grow as well. In Dover, England, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
And finally, the biggest retailer in the world is going to college. Walmart is getting ready to launch an on-campus store at the University of Arkansas. Should be open for business right after winter break. Walmart is headquartered in Arkansas. This is part of a series of smaller stores Walmart is launching in 2011. Yes, the $4 prescriptions will be available and townies will be welcome. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Who says you need good business sense to start a company?
I started Threadless without even knowing how we were going to print the t-shirts. I think that's where the innovative business model was formed, was in my ignorance.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. How to turn a t-shirt company into a going concern and keep it creative at the same time. That's next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.